Hello, and welcome to Band Together, a six-part series exploring how different music teachers foster positive classroom cultures in their band room. In this series, I interview six band teachers and discuss their general views on a positive classroom culture and what strategies they use to implement it. In our sixth and final episode, I finish my conversation with Matt Abraham and Shannon Little, two music educators co-teaching at a large urban high school. If you haven't listened to the first half, that's in episode 5, and maybe you'd like to check that out first. In our first segment of today's episode, we spend quite a lot of time talking about the room and how it affects culture. In previous episodes, we've talked about how the room is laid out, is it tiered or flat, what's on the walls. But Matt and Shannon explore this question in a different way, focusing more on what makes it a place where the kids feel welcome and how they can make it feel more like a hub. But first, the role of the conductor and the role of music. Here's part one. What role do you as teacher and conductor have in setting the culture of the room?
I think you are modeling some of it. You're facilitating some of it. Like, you allow it to grow, like you're a gardener, you know, and you nurture it and you pay attention to when it's like, okay, this needs a little more sunlight or too much water there, right? Like, you're sort of making adjustments organically as the culture shifts and you sort of see what it might need. So it's a lot of modeling and it's a lot of kind of the whole practice what you preach sort of thing. Like, am I aware of what's going on and things that we've mentioned already, I think.
You're adjusting. I love the way you say that. You're like when you're driving your car, right? You don't just like plant the steering wheel and go straight.
Yeah.
Like, you're always you're staying on the road, but it always takes these little adjustments. And I think that you're adjusting.
You're engaged in real time and these are real people, right? So mm-hmm. you want to interact with them in the most meaningful, genuine way possible. So you have to be there. You have to adjust with them. Because sometimes your class walks in and it's like not at all what you expected, right? And it's like, whoa, okay. This is not what I was expecting today. Or sometimes it's like, whoa, this is not what I was expecting today. You know, so you adjust accordingly and, mm-hmm. and you notice and you take care with them. And
yeah, the modeling is really important. Like as Shannon said, you, as a teacher, you get to determine what the weather is like in your classroom, right? Like you get to determine how it feels, right? And students will inevitably absorb and become versions of what they see and experience on a daily basis, you know, and that's going to look different and be different for every student. But I think we have a real responsibility to be the person that we want them to want to be. Right. Mm-hmm. And that can sometimes be a challenge too, because sometimes you've got students who have a different idea of what, you know, a positive mm-hmm. culture would be, or a different idea of how that's going. So, you know, trying to massage and guide and look after, you know, the divergent views of what it means to be a member of a community or a member of a team, like that managing that aspect is really, really important. Managing is such a terrible word, but like some of the personalities in the room, right? And making sure that everybody has a voice, even those that might choose not to use it often. And you know, like that type of thing, that type of environment, you know, thoughtfulness and care is really important.
I love how you said that we get to determine the weather in the room. And, you know, throughout my teaching career, perhaps throughout yours too, you hear, oh, that class is so crazy. Oh, I just can't ... But like, but you can a little bit, you know, like you can't avert the storm, but you can batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. We're like, there, even the zany trumpet class that you're describing, like, well, like the class doesn't have to happen to you, right? You are in it.
And
you are facilitating it.
Yes.
Find out what they need, you know, like what is it that I need to, in order to create the weather that I'm trying to create? Sometimes
Absolutely.
It's different things. You get to that same weather from really different places. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
It comes up more in jazz band, but like talking about, you don't react to the time. You play the time, mm-hmm. you know, and it's almost like you don't react to the culture. You are the culture, you know, mm-hmm. you try and mm-hmm. make sure that is what you're modeling day in, day out. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about like guidance and guiding the kids and mm-hmm. taking the opportunities to shape and mold things when it's appropriate and when it's presented. I think it's really important to note that like positive interactions matter. And so do like a less healthy or a negative interaction with a student. And of course it happens, right? Like we're human. And sometimes, you know, there's going to be a kid who catches you on a bad day and you've caught this kid on a bad day and it's just not going to be good. But that has lasting consequences.
Yeah.
You know, in, and especially if it happens, you know, in full view of the room, right? Like if you're ever going to have a conversation with a student where the outcome is going to perhaps be less than positive, you know, you want to take the effort and have that conversation, you know, in private and aside. And that's so, so important because it's little instances of negativity have a real lasting damaging effect on the community, and they, and the kids feel them and they last. And it takes a long, like it takes a weirdly long time to come back from that, you know, like a disproportionately long amount of time to come back from something that is a less than healthy interaction. I think the relationship piece is key, you know, building those positive, meaningful relationships and honest and genuine relationships, right? Like you can't fake it.
No,
you can't fake vulnerability. You can't fake a meaningful, positive relationship. You just can't. And building those relationships individually and collectively with students, I think is really important to maintaining that positive culture.
Definitely. So we talked a lot about the teacher. We've talked about kids. And does music itself play a role in manifesting a positive culture in the band room? Shannon, do you want to jump in?
It does, because it's, I think it's reflective of, like, good music making together is reflective of healthy, thriving people. And so, like, one example would be just a simple, like, musical example, like melody and supporting material, right? So you have to be aware and you have to allow people to be heard. You're supporting them and knowing your role. And so that's something that lends itself so well to what you want to be as a citizen, but also like as a musician, right? Just just one thing. So I do think it's a great conduit.
All right, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's the, I mean, I think it has to, right? Because it's the reason that everyone's there. It's the unifying thread. It's the thing that brought them into your class probably in the first place. You know, like it's the piece that everybody in that room, regardless of who they are or what they do or what they believe or where they're from, you know, any number of demographical indicators, it's the thing that unifies us all, right? So it's kind of the starting point. So we're all there because we love music. And especially like in a high school, you have to love music in order to be there because it means you're giving something else up, right?
Right.
In order to participate in a band class in high school, it means that you're making the choice not to do, you know,
a million other
things that you could do in a high school. So it's the thing that brings them in. It's, to quote Blues Traveler, it's the hook. Brings them back, right? Like it's, it is what it is. And I think, using that as a base, then you start building the community off of that, right? So you're together and you're making music every day as part of an ensemble, and it's impossible not to listen and be listened to. And as Shannon said, like to love and to be loved, right? It's impossible not to experience that in that environment. You have to. That's a fundamental tenet of ensemble musicianship. So with that as the context, I think that allows us to explore what a culture and a community and climate of the room means in that context.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So how about the role of the room's physical setting in enhancing the band room's culture? So things like setup or layout, furniture, signage, and all that.
This is a really hard question.
This is a really hard question too.
Because I'm a mess. Like really, really, seriously, this is a really hard question because the room does not look the way that maybe I know academically a room should appear, you know, and honestly, it doesn't. And when you asked this question, it got me thinking. I didn't actually even think about that until you asked the question and like what might be important. And I go back to like the students having a place to belong, right? Mm-hmm. So they have a safe space where they know they can feel supported, but also that they know they can go. Right. So if they need to do some homework or what have you, they can go there and they know they're going to be able to sit and do their homework quietly while there's a class going on in the background. And, you know, they're going to be able to go there and eat lunch. They're going to be able to go there and hang out with their friends. They're going to like it's a hub. Mm-hmm. Right. The room is a hub. And so I started thinking about what might make it a hub. And I think like an open space that would encourage the type of behavior that you'd want to establish, you know, the community, the conversation, the connection, those types of things, like a space that would help to facilitate that, mm-hmm. I think is really important. You know, you wouldn't necessarily get that same connection or that connectivity in a room that's broken up and, you know, very small or dark, or you know what I'm saying, right? Like, people have to feel comfortable in the room.
Yeah, right on. Shannon, you want to follow up with that?
I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think if, is the room available to everyone? Like, is it open to you? Can you come here and be here, like belong here? So that's always been important to me, like having it open for you to be here. I have experienced, like, if it's with younger students, like if the room is looking a certain way, if it's established where things go and it's kind of mostly tidy, right? It's like, okay, you know, that does sometimes have an effect, I think. Like if the room, like all the chairs were all scattered everywhere and you have a class that's like young and very excited, there might be a different effect if the chairs are all neat. But I think that's one factor in a larger thing. Like also, what am I doing in that situation? Is the door open? Where am I? How do I greet the students? What, you know, what other things am I providing in that space that creates like a certain feeling of like, is it comfortable in the room? Like, it's just, there's a lot of factors. So I do think, yeah, like a room can have a big impact. Like if it was just like a little classroom or something, I don't know. Like if it didn't sound, like if it sounded really bad in the room, or I don't know, if you're never there to greet the kids, or if there has to be some sort of care in the room, and especially that I think it's open, that they can be there.
I love how you commented that there is how you are in the room that assists how the physical space feels. Like when you talk about greeting the students, that is not explicitly connected to the physical space, but it's so important. Like it's such a huge part of how they enter the space. Yeah, it's not like a bulletin board on the outside. I have nothing against bulletin boards. We have a great bulletin board in Selkirk, but it's not the same as a person greeting you.
It can play a part of it. It's just, yeah.
It needs to lend itself to whatever you want the normal to be.
Right.
Like
absolutely.
The room has to support you in that.
Yeah. Yes.
So Shannon mentioned like organization. I think about like we want our students, we want a part of the culture is that our students are capable of solving their own problems. Right. And they're thinking, they're thinking things through and they're independent. And, you know, if they've got a problem, they know they can solve it on their own and they can kind of take that on themselves. So having all of the, for example, having like a filing system or cabinets where the kids know that they can find the music. So if they lost a part or their dog ate it or they flushed it or like whatever the case may be, they know where to go and find that part. And all the music that we're playing is pulled and it's on this shelf and, you know, different minute details like that, I think actually really help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think there's just one system that works. It's like, what's the system that is most natural to you that makes sense, and then you go from there, you know.
Right.
And if kids know what the expectations are of what happens in the room and what the room will be like I'm just thinking of how like our room changes a lot because different groups use our room and for presentations and all sorts of things, and the students just kind of know what it's supposed to be like, so to speak, and then and they all just jump in and change it, and they're happy to, like they're That's another sign, an indicator, right, of the good culture. It's like today, it's like a bunch of kids don't even have a class with us, and they're like, "Oh, how many rows do we need here?" Like they just set it up, right? It's like
wonderful.
Wow, that's awesome. This is a great place to be when people are jumping at the opportunity to show that they're a part of the community and they want to show that they care, which is so awesome.
They just want to show us that they care. What a powerful statement about learning and community. Belonging to something isn't enough. They need to find a way to demonstrate that belonging through student leadership. And I wonder if a part of that is that students feel genuinely heard and valued. Like Matt said earlier in this segment, being heard and hearing others is a fundamental part of ensemble musicianship. If our students aren't listening for one another, the whole experience falls apart. How lucky are we that those elements are baked into our classroom routines and curriculum? Speaking of lucky, we speak at length in this last segment about how fortunate we are as educators in Manitoba to stand on the shoulders of the giants who came before us. Like Marissa has said in her episode, tradition is a core part of a culture, and let me tell you,
We have been very lucky to have a strong music education tradition where we live. It's not meant to sound arrogant or superlative. It's just three educators being sincerely grateful that we get to teach in the non-competitive, student-focused culture in which we ourselves were raised. But first, wellness. Here's part two.
Does your personal wellness have a role in maintaining a positive bandroom culture? And do you have a time where the personal struggle that you were going through affected the tone you were trying to set in the room?
Yeah, you know, when you feel off balance, either personally or professionally, or off balance as a human, that can make it really hard, right? And then sometimes you go into your, you go in front of the kids and you're feeling a little off balance, or you're feeling stressed out, or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, you know, and it's really hard not to carry that into the room. And I actually think it's impossible and not to bring that with you, because that's who you are on that day, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's the way that you handle that. And I think it's the way that you embrace whatever it is and either try to turn it around or just be open and honest and genuine with the kids. You know, like it's okay to say, guys, you know what? I'm really having a tough time with something today. Mm-hmm. And I just need you to know, you know, and just to be open and honest and real with them. But yeah, it absolutely has an impact. Mm-hmm. And I find that like Bill Christensen, again, the guru, right? Like has just the right thing to have. He's the right person to have a discussion about anything with, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember there was one time I was having a really rough couple days in a row, and he happened to just walk in. It's as if he knows. And he walks in and he asked me how I was doing. I said, you know, I'm really not great, because I'm feeling stressed out and I'm feeling under the gun, and I feel like I'm bringing it into my classes and I don't want to, and they know, so then they feel stressed, and you know, it's the cycle again, because they become versions of whatever they see, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, whenever I'm feeling like that, I always try and get back to a place of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, because even as he said the word gratitude, you know, my whole soul just went, oh, yeah, there it is, right? And yeah. And of course, you know, that's not an instant fix, and you work on it and you think about, okay, yeah, you know what, I really do. And it's not even just a personal thing. It's not even like, oh, I have a lot to be grateful for, because we do. But it's having that grateful heart, and it's being that grateful person in the context of your classes and in your relationships and in your discussions mm-hmm. and as you engage with kids. And it makes a huge difference. So now when I'm having a day where, or a week or a month or whatever it happens to be, where it's like, you know, this is hard right now, because we all have it. This mm-hmm. is hard right now. I try to lock into that gratitude piece, and it keeps me grounded.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shannon.
I would agree. I think that's a great answer. That's an awesome answer. I agree. I think it definitely plays a role, your wellness, and you want to be aware of it all the time, you know, and it's, if something is, so to speak, you know, you're having a bad day, I think sometimes it's easy to look at all these external possibilities when it's, I always try to look internally first, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, okay, what am I bringing today? Maybe I am stressed or feeling under the gun, or something's happening in my personal life, you know, like it's, and you can get so caught up in so many different things, but really, yeah, like simplifying it and getting back to the gratitude piece, sometimes that's like very easy, and sometimes it's not. I think depending mm-hmm. on what's going on in your life, it's like you can get bogged down with different things, but it certainly does impact how you go out into the world, your own wellness, and you have to take care of yourself before you're able to take care of others. Mm-hmm. And I think to just be mindful of that, and sometimes we forget we're the last people we think of, right? Yeah. And that's not super healthy. And like Matt referenced too, like it depends on the situation. Like maybe it's best to just be honest with the group and say, you know, I'm going through a hard time, and they see that and they empathize. That gives them an opportunity to have a really human interaction with them, and it helps build your relationship. And then they're understanding, like, oh, there's a reason for this, or mm-hmm. you know, it depends. Or maybe you need to really, like, as much as you can, compartmentalize what's going on. It's the situation at hand. So
yeah, absolutely.
It definitely plays a role, and I try to be really aware of it on, like, all the time.
Well, especially with the pace and cumulative stress of our job. Like, there are some days, there are some months where I feel like, man, how much blood are we going to get from this stone? You know, like, where, how many ways can we cut this pie? And, you know, there are often, sorry, I was throwing analogies everywhere. It's like we're band teachers or something.
Yeah.
There are just a lot of balls to keep in the air, right? A lot of plates keep spinning. And like, how many more plates can I add?
Oh, and more.
Yeah. And so, like, I think, like, when I think about wellness, I think about it a lot in the cumulative sense of like months and months or sometimes years and years. I'm not far enough in my career, I think, to feel that way, like where you have a string of tough years. And I know teachers who have been that way, and that is thankfully not me. You know, there have been a few tough months, and you know, you both play in different ensembles outside of being teachers. Like, you know, as musicians, we all have side gigs because that's just part of who we are. It comes with the territory. And we're, I think a lot of us are kind of workaholics. Like, how much more can I put in? How much more can I give? If I just do one extra hour of X, Y, or Z, and it takes a toll. And I've been thinking about that a lot as like throughout these interviews with, as I'm talking to people at different stages of their career and hearing them talk about wellness in the short term, in the medium term, in the long term. It's really powerful stuff. Okay. I think we've talked about this next question kind of through the entire interview. What values do you want to impart? I mean, you've talked so much about empathy and community and communication and listening.
Huge one. Relationships.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to add?
I think you've covered it there. I don't know.
Empathy is a big one. Empathy is a big one. Relationships is a big one. Mm-hmm. Supporting, giving of self. Gratitude is a big one.
Yes.
The listening and being listened to. Kindness and compassion. The human qualities. The stuff that the world is missing, actually.
Yeah.
That's what we want. You know, the stuff that we just really need more of. Mm-hmm. And it would solve 1,001 problems if we just had more, you know, X, Y, Z, compassion, empathy, kindness. That's what I think we want.
This is one of my favorite questions, and it's turned into one of my favorite questions throughout the project. Are there any books that you believe are essential reading for establishing and maintaining a positive bandroom culture?
This is a subject I feel I would like to know more about, so I'm really looking forward to the answers of your other contestants. I mean, yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Great, Matt.
I'm going to give a super vague answer.
Wonderful.
It's going to start off specific, awesome. But it's going to get vague in a hurry. The first book that I read when I started at Massey, because working with Bill and Jackie, I just asked Bill, I was like, what should I read? Mm. And so he, out of his bag that second, he pulls this book, and it's Mindset by Carol Dweck.
Mm-hmm.
He says this, and he throws it down.
That's a good one.
So I read that, and that is really key because it focuses on the psychology of, I mean, a whole bunch of things, but particularly valuable for us is the psychology of feedback and the idea, the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset, right? And how we interact with kids on something as simple as, you know, what feedback we give them when they've accomplished a task, how impactful that can be to how they perceive themselves, but also how they continue to grow, right? Mm-hmm. So things like the difference between, hey, you played that really well, or hey, you played that really well, you must have worked really hard on it. That distinction gets them all kind of believing the right things, you know, and for lack of a better term, kind of drinking that Kool-Aid and moving forward, that's what they begin to believe. And then the more vague part, anything by, I'm going to mispronounce her last name, but Barbara Colarasso.
Okay, yep.
Again, it has to do with nurturing the child, right? And just the idea that I trust you and I believe in you and I know you can do this. And, you know, that type of sentiment and that type of engagement and relationship building with the kids, I think is really important.
Wonderful.
And it is a smart way, like you mentioned, you just ask the people that are your mentors or people that you respect and you know, like, yeah, they've really got something going on that I really value and I share values, and you ask those people, what are some of the influences that you have? What are things that you're reading? And
And that's one thing I'm hoping that this project expands on, in that we have so little time to talk to one another. You know, the first session of Tempo is coffee. Hanging out and talking and like, hey, I read this great book. Hey, I'm working on this great piece. I'm hoping that this generates some conversation and hopefully we'll get each teacher to reach out to other teachers and just ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing it alone.
No, like, exactly. Yeah.
And I mean, Shannon and I are so fortunate to work in a situation where, like, it's really obvious that we're not doing it alone, right? Because because we share an office, and, you know, we get to bounce ideas off each other and have conversations, and, like, it's magical. And we realize that's not the same everywhere, right? Like, it can be very easy to be the only music teacher in your school and really feel that, right? But none of us are alone. Like, we're all trying to do it, and we're all trying to do variations on what I think is pretty much the same thing.
And we're talking about this idea of isolation as this going into survival mode, and sometimes by nature the music teacher is isolated from their peer group, right? Just by the nature of where you work in different buildings. And so it's healthy to help yourself thrive by coming out of isolation and connecting with others. And, you know, just, I think most people, when I've asked them questions, they're just so open. Actually, everyone, when they're like, oh, wow, I'm so happy that you've reached out, and I would love to talk about this, or a quick email, or, you know, it's, I think we have a community that wants to share and wants to, but like you say, we're not necessarily in a situation where we're connecting unless we're at coffee at Tempo, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. And just piggybacking on what you've said before we jump to the last question, I think correctly that our community is kind of viscerally non-competitive. I don't think that there's a teacher who says, I want to have the best band. Because I think we're thinking about kids, and we just want to have a great program. We want kids to have great experiences. We want kids to have great music and have excellence in music education. Like, we're all pursuing that. And, and I don't have all the keys, but I got one or two, and I'm happy to share. I want to steal all your keys, right? Like, we all want these great experiences. So we can just have great, just a big kumbaya.
Yeah. It's totally a kumbaya.
Yeah. So lastly, is there anything else that you would like to discuss?
I think we covered it. I might make a comment on what you just said about the philosophies of different programs. And, you know, I think we've been very fortunate in Manitoba in the way that we have been raised and mentored as younger educators, in that philosophically we find ourselves in a place that you described where our values aren't. Or, I mean, I can only really speak for myself, and I think I can probably speak for us as a program, but like, we don't, and I know it's out there. Like, I know this feeling of, well, we have to win band is out there, but like, I don't understand what that would look like. I don't understand how that happens. I don't, like, what is, how do you win an art? How do you win something that is so fundamentally, you can't win at art any easier than you can lose at art. And I think that we all agree that you can't really lose at art.
Yeah.
So how do you win? Anyways, that's a philosophical discussion for another time. But I do know that, as I said, in Manitoba, we're very fortunate to have that really strong concept of what music education can be. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's necessarily the same elsewhere. Like, I think the culture that you described of competition and of one-upmanship and of that kind of thing, I think that is alive and well in many places. And I count myself as very fortunate that that's not something that I need to play into.
Absolutely.
You know, that's not the box that people are trying to stuff us in, because we wouldn't fit that box. Like, I don't understand.
It's so, like you've already mentioned it, just sort of what art is. It's not a competition, you know, and I would agree. We've been so fortunate. Like, we've had a lot of the same mentors, all of us really. Mm-hmm. And just the way they've modeled this lifelong learning. Some of these people who you feel like, oh, they've got it all figured out, quote unquote, and they're asking you questions, or they're writing notes, more notes than you are at some event, or, you know, they're always learning and they're growing. And it's, again, it's that growth mindset that we see from people. And I think sometimes that competition might come from more of a fixed mindset, you know? We are fortunate because we don't believe in that. And we've sort of been mentored, you know, and I'm not sure that I would believe in it even if I hadn't been meant. But yeah, I think we're just fortunate to, like, you can feel like this is meaningful and it's genuine and it's authentic and it's there is no winner or loser, like, I mean, so to speak, you know, and it's a lifelong pursuit. And yeah, I think that it mirrors real life. Yeah. Like, you don't really win at life or lose. You kind of do a little bit of both and you just keep pursuing and, you know, and keep going. So
absolutely.
I think it's also important to realize that competition and a competitive aspect would represent the antithesis of everything that we've been talking about today.
Absolutely.
You know, like the connection and the communication and the positive relationships and everything that we've spent, you know, the last hour or so talking about. I think, like, a competitive philosophy, I don't think that would create the same culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what makes music education or arts education truly unique is that your goal is to work collaboratively towards creating something beautiful where nobody has to walk away a winner or a loser.
Right.
And I don't really think you need to look all that far to realize how important that is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's great. Shannon and Matt, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks, Cameron.
Thank you.
That's the amazing thing about culture. It's everywhere and in all things. When we talk about culture in this series, we're talking about the band room, but it's also at home and in our families, in our job and at work, or in our communities and organizations. What role do we have to play in these groups? How are we contributing to the culture? And how can we teach that to our students who will eventually leave our space to contribute to other important cultures in their lives? That's been the second part of my conversation with Shannon Little and Matt Abraham. It was also our final episode, meaning, like the last day of grade 12 band, our experience together has come to an end. Thank you so much for listening. For more information, you can head to bandtogetherpodcast.com or my own personal website at kenleychristofferson.com. The spelling is in the show notes. I've got you covered. Follow me on Twitter at kenley_k or on Facebook at facebook.com/kenley. Thanks again to all of my guests for their time, willingness to contribute, and thoughtfulness. All episodes, including this one, are available on the website, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. The intro and outro music is my piece, The Meeting Place, performed by Arizona State University Wind Ensemble and conducted by Dr. Jason Kasler. The break music is the third movement of my suite, Transcendent Light, and this one's digital, for now, at least. I'm Kenley Christofferson. Until next time.